Amen. If you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 12. A lot's been talking about salvation here this morning. And what I want to talk to you this morning about is how to know for sure that you are saved. Amen? I know I preach a good bit about know-so salvation, but I'm going to preach to you this morning how to know that you are saved. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 12. For this which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let me read it one more time. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart. I come again with praise for you, thanking you for the ones that have made their way out of here this morning. Thanking you, Father, for the hearts that are here, for those that are representative, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would open up those hearts, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, the word would go to them as much as you would have it to, Lord, that you would open it up to them, let them understand, Lord, and that if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you as a personal Savior, I pray, Father, today is the day of salvation, and we give that to you. And amen. And amen. I've told you on numerous occasions, you know, that as I prepare a sermon, I often think of how I hear it, how I would hear it if I was sitting back there this morning. So a message is just as much for me as it is for you whenever I preach a sermon. I want you to understand that. So let me ask you this morning, what is saving faith? Do you know what saving faith really is? What does it mean to you? You don't have to tell me or raise your hands, but I'm asking you to look inside yourself. Do you know what saving faith is? You know what? We need to investigate it a little bit then. If you know what? I want to get into it a little bit because, you know what? There is all kind of counterfeit faith out there. Am I right? There's lots of that out there. But I'm asking you this morning, do you know what saving faith really is? You know, the devil believes. You know what? The devil believes in God, but is the devil saved? No. He believes, he has faith that there's a God. The devil believes, you know what? Evolutionists have more faith sometimes than what Christians have, am I right? I mean, I'm serious, they do. And what they believe in, they have more faith sometimes than what we have faith in. If we look at Matthew, the 7th chapter, 21 through 23, One of the 21 tells us, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's very simple scripture, right? I'm going to get back to that here after a while, so keep that marked if you wouldn't care. But you know what? What about the wise and the foolish builder? What about them? You can find out over in Luke 6:46-49. It says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? For whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them not, I will shew you unto him. He is like this. He is like a man which built a house, and digged deep, and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But then he goes on to say, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Both people built their house, did they not? They both thought that they would stand, am I right? Both of them thought that whenever they built their house, so they evidently thought that they were right in what they were doing. But it's obvious that one of them was not right. The one that did not have the foundation. You could say, well, surely they knew they didn't have the foundation. I'm here to tell you, there are people in this world that think they are on the right foundation, but you know what? They are not on the right foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ, and if they are not founded on that, they are going to fall. They will fall. The only thing worse than going to hell is going to hell and thinking that you're going to heaven. I want you to know, I've said this lots of times. This is a no-so salvation. When I preach to you about salvation, whether or not you're saved or not, you know, sitting here this morning, whether or not you are saved or you are lost. You may think in yourself that you're just putting it off or you're denying it. I'm here to tell you, you know whether you're saved or whether you're lost here this morning, because it is a no-so salvation. Works are no substitute for saving faith. I want to say that right up front. You can do all the works in this world, all the good stuff in this world, and that is not saving faith. I want you to understand that. That's part of it. I will agree with that. But if you're counting on that as being your salvation, works will not get you salvation. You know what? Good deeds, miracles, casting out devils. Judas Iscariot did all these things. Am I right? Judas walked with the Lord. He walked with Him. And there's lots of people, you know what? But they weren't saved. Listen to me. The Antichrist is going to do miracles in the end, is he not? The Antichrist is going to do miracles in the end. The Antichrist is not saved. So we've got to get this straight in our mind. You know what? Three things are not necessarily evidence of saving faith. The first one is visible morality. Outwardly, there are many good people. I can guarantee you I can talk to everybody in here who knows somebody that is a good person. Am I right? I know good people. I know people that if you did not know any better, you would think that they went to church and they were good Christian people. But they have never gone the inside of a church, have never confessed in Jesus Christ. They are good morally, but I'm here to tell you, and believe this or not, but if they die that way, they're going to split hell wide open. They will do that because it takes the belief in Jesus Christ. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life and believing that He is the only way, the Son of God, to save us. Outwardly. You know what? There are many people that are good morally that aren't saved. Matthew 23:27 tells us, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are likened to whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanliness." Listen to me. The Pharisees knew the Word. Am I right? The Pharisees knew the Word of God that they had at that time. They knew the Scriptures. And you know what? They knew that there was coming a Messiah. But they did not accept Jesus. They would not accept Jesus Christ into their life. And Jesus told them, you look good on the outside. You had all the appearance of being what's right. But you know what counts? Right in here is what counts. It counts what's on the inside of every one of us. You could be morally on the outside. You could do all the right things. Say all the right stuff. Never say a bad word in your life. As Ryan said, there are people that don't cuss. There are people that don't say bad words. It doesn't mean that they're Christians. What's it mean to be a Christian? It means to be Christ-like. Amen. You know what? Isaiah 64:6 tells us, our righteousness is as what? It is as filthy rags. All that I do, the goodness that I do, everything that I do, if it's outside of the realm of doing it for Jesus Christ, it is nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of God. Wow. That's hard, is it not? That's hard. But listen to me. I want to preach the truth to you tonight. Do you know the Buddhists achieve what they call nirvana? And by holding their people to very high moral standards. Do you understand that? Listen, many religions in the world hold their people to high religious standards. You can get right down to them. But that does not mean that they are saved. There are 8 billion people in this world. And you may agree with me and you may not, that's fine. 8 billion people in this world. 2 billion of them claim to be Christians. 2 billion of them claim to be Christians. And I'll even take it down farther than that. I don't believe that the 2 billion of them are really truly Christians. That you say you're judging. No, I'm going by the fruits. Now let me tell you this. Out of those people that believe in Jesus Christ are the only ones, are you understanding this? The only ones that will ever see heaven one day are the ones that believe in Jesus Christ. Out of 8 billion people, only ones that are going to see Jesus heaven one of these days are those that believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe the words of this book, when Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I'm telling you, He is the only way. You believe this book? I believe every word in this book, including what it says right here. It's the Holy Bible. Amen? I believe every bit of it. But they aren't saved. Also, having Bible knowledge does not mean that you are saved. I remember it's a story Oki told all the time about the gentleman that he talked to who knew the Bible. But when you talk to him about being saved, he was not saved. He knew the Bible from front to back. He could quote it. Believe you me, I believe the devil can quote the Bible better than anybody in this church this morning. Am I right? I believe the devil can quote the Bible better than anybody in this church, because what's he want to do? He wants to confuse. He wants to make people doubt. He wants to make people not believe. If you can know the Bible inside and out, but if it's all up here and it's not here, you're not saved. Amen? Am I being truthful with you this morning? I'm talking to you about what it truly means to be saved. You can have all the head knowledge that you want. You can sit down and know that Bible backwards and forward, but if you do not know Jesus Christ in your heart, that word will not do you any good. It will not do you any good. You need to know Jesus Christ. You need to know, have the word implanted in your heart, and it needs to be there. And you know what? Whenever it's needed, it'll come out, because I believe God will let it come out. Amen? Praise God. The Pharisees had as much knowledge. They had as much knowledge as anybody. But what did Jesus tell them? He said they were fathers of the devil. And they had all kind of knowledge about the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's lots of people like that. Ever learning. They want to learn as much as they can. But you know what? They don't know the knowledge, the true knowledge of truth that only coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior can bring you. I can tell you this. They're even set in seminaries. Amen? There's lots of them at Sutton seminaries that have more degrees than the thermometer have. Amen. They stand behind pulpits every Sunday. They teach Sunday school some Sundays. But you know what? They even sit in the pews some Sundays. And you know what? Guess what? But remain spiritually cold. Remain, they do not know, they really do not know Jesus as a personal Savior. I've been taken there since I was a kid by mommy and daddy. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? That's what counts. You know what? And that's great. I'm glad that parents take their kids to school. And this is not a down for that. I'm not putting anybody down for that. We need to have our kids in school, in Sunday school and in church. But I'm here to tell you today, that does not save them. They have to come and have a personal relationship. They've got to know Jesus for themselves. They can't go to heaven on mommy and daddy's coattails. That just will not happen. They've got to understand this. You know what? And we don't need it to be that way. And I'll tell you something else too, the people do too. They will take guilt, the guilt of sin, and they will take that for conviction. I'm going to tell you, there's a difference between guilt and conviction. There's a difference between guilt and conviction. I've heard preachers maintain that guilt is the evidence that you are saved. That is not true. That is not true. Whenever I got saved and the convicting power of God came before my life, that's different than guilt. I could put guilt aside. Amen? I could shove it aside after a while. But whenever God put conviction upon my heart, I couldn't put that aside like that. The convicting power of God gets a hold of you. It's different than just plain old guilt. I want you to understand that this morning. Listen to me. Feeling guilt is not the proof that you are saved. Feeling guilty is not the proof that you are saved. Don't confuse guilt with conviction. Don't ever do that. Guilt should drive us to our knees. I agree. It should drive us to our knees and bring us to Jesus for salvation. But it does not offer conviction. Conviction is different. Conviction happens to the believer after salvation. Amen? I believe that. I'll tell you what, whenever something happens to me after right now and I know that I'm wrong, boy, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit comes upon my life and I have to go to my knees right then. There's no doubt in my mind that's what happens to me. You know what? Mental institutions are full of people that are full of guilt. They really are. They're full of people like that. Some are unable to reform. You know, listen to me. And this is something else, too, I want to bring out here this morning. And listen to me. Just listen to what I'm saying. There are sometimes people can go to drug rehab and they can get through that without God. I've seen that happen before. I've seen it happen. But you know what it does? Sometimes when those people come through that, what they do, they think, well, I didn't need church. I didn't need God. I didn't need any of that stuff. So what they think in their minds is, well, you know what? I don't need God anymore. Woe is them. God, the devil is so tricky. He's so covered that he lays this stuff out before them. It can give them a self sense of pride, a self sense of sufficiency. When actually, what, you know what? We need to rely on Jesus Christ. I beat this. I didn't need God. I didn't need the help of those people around me. I beat it on my own. No, they did not. No, they did not. You know what? 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Amen? Lest he fall. And even some can even end up worse than what they were at the beginning. Matthew tells us that. Remember when Jesus said this? When the unclean spirit is going out of a man, he walketh through dry places, and seeking rest he findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. And then what's it say? Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I come out. And when he is come out, and then when he goeth he, and he taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And what's it say? The last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so, it be also unto this wicked generation. Listen to me. Listen. Do not confuse guilt with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Do not do that. I'll tell you what, I've lived on this earth long enough to know that I don't know everything. I understand that. I realize that. I don't know if Adam and Eve had a belly button. I don't know that. I don't know a lot of things in this life. But tell you something I do know. I believe what it says right here in the Scripture. I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. The night that the Lord Jesus Christ come into this old boy's heart, Ryan, there was no doubt. No doubt. I didn't have to know about him anymore. I knew him. I knew him personally, one-on-one. The moment that I got saved, listen to me. I'll tell you, whenever Paul said these words, he wasn't saying that he knew of Jesus. He wasn't saying that he had heard of him. Praise God, Paul knew him personally right then and there. I'm here to tell you this morning, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will know him personally.
Amen.
You'll know him personally. There'll be no doubt. He will come into your life. He will walk with you. He will sup with you. When you're reading your Scripture, he will be there with you. When you come to church, he will come to church with you. He will be at your house with you. He will go to work with you. He will go to school with you. You'll know him because he is that kind of a personal relationship. Amen? Praise God, I know whom I have believed. Yes, he's my friend. Yes, he's beside me. Yes, he guides me. I am not ashamed to say that. I'm not up here bragging. It's for anybody who wants it because I know just exactly what he did for me and how he brought me through. But if any man love God, the same is known of God. You get that? Not only do you know God, but God knows you. Not only do you know that he lives in here, when you're saved, believing me, the Scripture says, but the same is known of God. Behold, your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. Praise God. The angels in heaven do what? They have a celebration. Whenever your name is written in the Lamb's book, how important is that to God to have a celebration in heaven because of one? Because of one lost sinner. Because if it's you here this morning, if you come and give your life to him, praise God, right here on the 28th day of February, there'll be a celebration in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Do you truly know in whom you believe? Matthew 7:21. I'm going to go back to that again. And Jesus said, whereby their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, Have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then it goes on to tell us in verse 23, this chilling statement. Listen to me. These people thought that they were right. You get that? They thought that they were right. Have we not done this? Have we not done this in your name, Lord, and that? But then Jesus says this, and this is very chilling to me. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Isn't that chilling to you? Isn't that just sad to you to think that there could be people maybe sitting here this morning, maybe sitting right here this morning, that are thinking to themselves, I am right. I'm right. And knowing that they're not right. And one of these days they're going to stand before God thinking they're going to get in. And He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Man, that's chilling to me. You see how important it is to know Him personally? I know this sounds like I'm being a downer to you today. But that's not it. I'm trying to let you know that it can be a personal thing with Him. It can be personal salvation. We must have a close relationship with Him. Our knowledge of Jesus must be a heart knowledge and not a head knowledge, as I said earlier. It's got to be so. I remember that the night that I got saved and the Spirit came in. You know what? My heart opened up. My mind opened up. My heart opened up. I knew in whom I believed. I knew that. There was no doubt in my mind. Not just a head knowledge. Man, I'd heard about Jesus before. Remember I told you about aunts and uncles telling me. I knew that they tried to get me in the right direction. I knew that. And I knew what it was meaning. Just trying to comprehend all this stuff. Bang! The night I got saved, I comprehended it all right then. I knew what it meant to be saved. I knew what it meant to have the love and the peace and the joy overflow my heart. People can fool us, can they not? People can fool us. They can make us believe things about them that aren't true. I've seen it. I've seen many times that the people can do that to us. But you know what? It don't last very long. They can't do it all the time. So how can we know if we're a genuine article living within us? How can we know this? The first thing I want to tell you about how we can know is that our soul will be a commitment. We will have a commitment to Jesus Christ, this commitment to serve Him to the best of our abilities and by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is a life full of commitment, waiting to please Him no matter what. That's the first thing to know, that if you are truly saved, you will have a life of commitment to Him. Yes, again, I repeat, the Christian life is full of commitments. It is full of them. It means putting God's desires above what? Above our own. That is what having a commitment to serving Jesus Christ and to serving God's about. It's putting His desires above our own. Romans 6:17, but God be thanked. Now listen, this scripture right here, I want you to mark this. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You know what he's saying right there? That's awesome scripture. I'll just read to you. I wrote it down in the NIV, and I normally don't do this, but I think it tells it out pretty good right here. But thanks be to God that through you, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the patterns of teaching that has now claimed your what? Your allegiance. Your allegiance. That's awesome scripture if you really think about it. We were lost in sin, but you know what? Whenever He set us free, guess what? My allegiance used to be to this world out here. My allegiance used to be to the things of the devil. My allegiance now is to God and to His Son, Jesus Christ. That's where my allegiance is. That's how the first thing you can know that if you're saved, where's your allegiance lost? Where's your allegiance at today? Is it for God and the things of God, or is it for the things of this world still? You know you're saved and your allegiance is not to the world. Also, you will know that you're saved because love will overflow your spirit. These are scriptures here. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for the other. One for another. Listen to me. I'm not talking about just some average love. I'm talking about a love that will have you love somebody that you cannot stand. Amen? Am I right? Ephesians 3:19, and we're to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. What can make a man, a woman, a boy, or girl, you know what, love someone that they really don't love? I'll tell you what it is. It's the love of Jesus Christ that overflows our hearts. I'll tell you what, there was a time in my life, I tell you, there's people that I did not like. I hated people. I was a teenager, and there were people I hated. I could have cared less what happened to them. And you know what? The night that Jesus Christ came into my heart, that all changed. I wanted to see him saved. I worked as hard as I could to see people saved instead of trying to tear people down. That's what I did. That's what the love of God can do. That's what I want to tell you here this morning. If you know you've passed from death unto life because you have love for the brother, because you have love for people that you did not have love for before. And you know what? If you do not have that this morning, I'm here to tell you, I doubt that you are of the Lord. Amen or oh my. Because the love of God that passes all knowledge. It says, therefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. And praise God, you know, but the supernatural love can change hate into love. Listen to me. He loved me enough. He loved me enough to go to the cross. Did he not? He loved me enough to go to the cross. And whenever he went to that cross, praise God, I appreciate that he did that for me. It can change vengeance into forgiveness. It can do that. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, charity suffereth long, is kind, charity envieth not, charity bottleth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Plain and simple, without the love of Christ in your hearts, you're not a Christian. Plain and simple. Without the love of Christ in our hearts, we are not Christians. The Bible tells us that. Plain and simple. You can know that you're saved, you know, because the Holy Spirit will take up residence in your heart. Amen? That's what it says. It said in Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. See, it's very simple to know where we stand as Christians, whether or not you are a Christian here this morning. Listen, if you do not have the Spirit, if you do not have the love, I'm here to tell you, this altar's open this morning. If he's dealing with you about, Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the believers. The night that I got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence in me. That's why I know. That's why I preach the way I do. That's why I know what happened the night that I got saved. The Holy Spirit took up residence in my heart. And it showed and guided and directed me into all things. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. The Spirit teaches us how to talk, how to walk, how to do everything that only the Spirit of God can teach us to do. You want to know why there's a lot of confusion in the church world today? Because too many people or after trying to do it without the Spirit of God in their life to direct them and show them what is truth and what is right. Amen? Listen to me. I hope and pray this morning, like I said, why do can we know for sure that we are a Christian? I'm here to tell you, yes, we can know that we are a Christian. You say, well, how do I get to know Him? Listen, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you here this morning, if He is dealing with you, they come and get a song. If He is dealing with you here this morning, I'm going here to tell you, come to this altar and let's pray. Let's pray that God will come and flood your soul. Let's pray that Jesus Christ and His Spirit will flood your soul this morning, and you will feel what the Word of God has for us to feel this morning. Amen.